WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling. In the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
It's like, I don't care about nothing, man. Roll another blunt. Yeah.
La la da 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 la da da la 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 la. I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. La da, my room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I got high, because I got high, because I got high.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, here to run down an entire week's worth of wrestling news. The week that will go down in infamy as the one where Scott Hall's name came up a lot, and he wasn't the big fuck-up of the week. This is Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Swagger was gonna get a WrestleMania push, but then he got hot.
And filling out the trio for the night, we have, of course, Tim Stein.
That would be me. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, of course, yeah, that intro song is dedicated to Jack Swagger. I think it was appropriate, kids.
Exceedingly so.
Yeah. Of course, jumping right into it, Jack Swagger... caught after the SmackDown tapings driving away under the influence and found to have quite a stash of Mary Jane in his possession.
No one calls it Mary Jane, Tim.
Dude, you don't smoke it. It's true. You don't. Do you?
No.
Do you?
No.
There you go. People who smoke it call it Mary Jane. They still do, dude.
Uh-huh.
They call it about 4,000 other things, Tim, but... you know, we don't have all night to list off how many times Jack Swagger's done it. So.
Could always ask certain people at a wrestling show as at Friday night what they call it, but we'll get into that later on! So yeah, Jack Swagger in a lot of trouble. Last report I read the fuzz, they wanted to like go for jail time. Jack Swagger going into jail right before WrestleMania. Can you see it happening?
I don't see it happening. I'd laugh.
It would be funny, wouldn't it?
But I don't quite see that happening.
Of course, if that does wind up happening, it wouldn't be for a few months yet anyway. I mean, they got to set a trial and do all that other funky crap. And then, the question is, if they go and do something like that, what will WWE do about it? Will they do anything? Will they try to help keep him out of jail? What?
Most
most likely case scenario, they put one of their lawyers in charge and have them get the hearing held back as long as possible, get it done till after Mania, if they even want to go that route.
Well, you bring up a pretty good speculation on that one there, Omega. What are the chances that they're going to do something to basically put an end to this storyline?
Might want to ask Randy Orton, RVD, about that one.
Yeah, because, like, you get caught with the marijuana, you get suspended.
We actually had a pretty good discussion going on the rack until someone's internet died.
Somebody had internet that died? What happened? I didn't hear anything.
It sounds like something that starts with com and ends in cast.
Comcast sucks. That's all I've heard.
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go. Yeah. So what was, tell me about this discussion that you had, because apparently I missed it.
Well, no. Instead of Omega going back and trying to reiterate what he said last Thursday night, how about you go to the archive at wildtalkradio.com and listen to the rack on the rack radio network, because, you know, if it's not the rack, it's nothing else matters.
You are such a shameless shill. Where did you learn that?
Some Canadian bastard, I can't remember.
Yeah, wasn't his name Jeff or something like that? You learned how to shill from him?
No, I'm less shameless. I actually have morals and principles. Anyway.
I got an email.
But Maggie, you're supposed to pull me up on that shit. I shouldn't be mean and negative.
Wait a minute, Omega, you were saying something about you got an email?
Oh, I got an email from someone named Jeff, but it had a really virus suspicious link in it.
Really? Kind of like the email got that came from your email address that had a zip file included?
Working on it.
Okay. So, yeah. Now, here's the wrench that's thrown into the works of this. You know, as soon as I hear about this, I'm thinking, Jack Swagger, you dumb, you fucked up, you're gone. And then, Glenn Beck, yes, Mr. Conservative himself, that's looking for another 15 minutes of fame because nobody listens to him anymore or pays attention to his program, speaks off about how stupid wrestling fans are.
I didn't hear this, but he's probably very spot on.
Yeah,
wrestling fans are stupid, let's just put it that way.
There we go. Yeah, no, he claimed that, wrestling is, you know, it's a standard Colin Cowherd crap that we heard back in 2005, I think it was. You know, and he just also, not only did he dump on wrestling and wrestlers in general, he, targeted his attacks towards the fans of wrestling. Now, what this did, was prompted Swagger and Dutch Mantel in his gimmick of, I can't even remember what his gimmick is. What is his name?
Oh, Dutch's?
Yeah.
Zeb Coulter.
Zeb Coulter, that's it. Zeb Coulter. It caused them to post a video in which they actually they broke the quote-unquote fourth wall in the middle of it, and really basically put him in his place, and then invited him onto Raw tomorrow night to give, you know, let him have 15 minutes unedited and uninterrupted in the ring to state his case. Of course, he declined, saying that he was booked doing anything else, or 5 minutes, not 15, whatever.
Well, considering the way that most mainstream, well, quote-unquote, mainstream media personalities view professional wrestling, if they get called out on it and said, why don't you come over to our show and, you know, feel free to voice your opinion in front of our audience, of course they're not going to accept.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, you know, you taking a bunch of your guys over at Canadian All-Pro and going over to, say, the Heart Legacy Wrestling show and saying Heart Legacy Wrestling sucks dick. And
well,
you get booed. Why are you going over there and making yourself look like a fucking fool?
Yeah, there's a difference.
It does nothing to help you, and that's the exact same situation that happens when the WWE guys call out somebody who is anti-wrestling.
Yeah, well, there's the difference is Heart Legacy Wrestling did suck dick. They're, you know, it's a different story altogether.
I know, but I couldn't think of any other Canadian promotions at the moment that actually, like, mean anything to actually go on and talk about. So
okay, well, I could be a real prick and just say Steven Styles and real Canadian wrestling, but that's a different story.
It is indeed. but the point still stands is, you know, why are you going to, if you're somebody who is talking down professional wrestling, why are you going to go onto a wrestling product where that means, like, none of your audience is going to follow because they've shared your original opinion? All that's doing is bringing attention to the product that you're standing against, and you won't even get your words out anyway because you're going to be in front of a live crowd of, you know, 20,000, 30,000. That are going to be booing, that are going to boo you out of the building from the second you set foot on the stage. Yeah. So, you know, as much as, you know, people can turn around and say Glenn Beck's a fucking pussy for doing it, he made the right decision.
Well, you know, you stop and you think about it. Ever since, I believe it was the early 80s, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was John Stossel, maybe, asked a certain professional wrestler if wrestling was fake, at which point said professional wrestler attacked the mainstream media guy and just about broke his neck on live TV, on daytime television. Ever since then, mainstream news media has been very quick and very eager to jump on anything negative without talking about anything positive when it comes to the world of professional wrestling, doesn't matter what it is, WWE, WWF back then, or anything else.
Same can be said about just about anything to do with mainstream media and anything that is not done from the 1970s or earlier.
There you go, yeah. David Schultz was the wrestler. Thank you very much for that in-depth and very quick digging, Mr. Producer. Of course, Dave Schultz wasn't exactly small potatoes back in his day, and this was quite a long time ago. But did you see this video that they put up there?
I saw that they released a whole bunch of videos on YouTube. I clicked on one, listened to about 3 seconds. The second I heard, "My name is Zeb Coulter, and this is Jack Swagger," I turned it off.
Oh, you should have kept listening, because they basically...
No. Look, if it's one thing that I can tell you straight up, and I know Omega somewhat shares this sentiment, same with Lindsay and Rock and everything, we don't like the way these promos are cut. We don't like the undertones of everything that's going on with these two characters. So why would we willingly want to sit down and watch these videos of something that we do not agree with in the slightest? We're actually taking the stand that a lot of people should be doing in this world, and not watching the shit we don't want to see.
Yeah, but they weren't showing the shit you didn't want to see. They broke character and basically dug right into it.
It doesn't matter. You're going to have to sit there and listen to them.
No,
we don't want to listen to them.
It wasn't them. It wasn't in character. It was the wrestlers, not the characters. Yeah, sure, we started off with the character name and stuff like that, but that's as far as we went afterwards. And, it was a very, much shared video. We've got a lot of comments in all the different places it was posted. I guess that they're going to, after Glenn Beck declined to show up on Raw Monday night, Stephanie McMahon called a creative meeting. I guess they're going to do some kind of parody burial of a guy, which is, you know, not something new for WWE.
Yeah,
because these go over so well.
Yeah, because, you know, that whole Rosie O'Donnell thing went over like a fucking lead balloon.
Yeah, not just the Rosie O'Donnell thing, but, you know, that was just one of them. And, so I guess we're going to be subject to probably 10 minutes to 15 minutes worth of crap on Monday night because of all of this. But that being said, you guys think that maybe this whole brouhaha may have just saved Swagger's ass?
If it did, it's a fucking travesty. You know, if he gets to keep his spot just because some pundit started bitching, then WWE needs to issue apologies to Randy Orton, take one of his strikes off. They need to issue apologies to RVD. Everyone that they've ever struck down while they're in the middle of a push, because they got busted. Because if there's any, if there's some like little nexus of rules where, well, if, you know, okay, so say, you screw up on a, okay, say you screw up on a late Tuesday night, if you've got a political pundit windbag bitching about you come Thursday, okay, yeah, there's an exception clause in there. That was the one thing about their little wellness policy that WWE wanted to stress so much. Nobody was safe. Top card, bottom card, didn't matter. That's how Randy Orton, that's why Randy Orton got put on the, you know, that's why Orton had heat on him after he failed it twice.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question concerning that, Omega, is, okay, Randy Orton is on a different level than a good portion of the roster. But then again, so is somebody like CM Punk and John Cena. Is Randy Orton at the same level as a CM Punk or John Cena? Of course, I'm choosing two guys who are so freaking lily white, it's frightening probably. But say John Cena did something like that, would they do the same thing they did to Randy Orton, or would they, you know, like cover it up?
I don't know, because we've never heard of any incidents like that. I mean, what, you know, whatever we can say about the guy in the ring, you know, outside the little divorce thing, the guy is squeaky clean.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, yeah, it's kind of an impossible question to answer, I guess. But just so long as you guys understand, I am no way, shape, or form condoning this whole redneck racist white supremacy storyline type thing that WWE has decided to do. But don't you think that it would have been a little bit less, what's the word I'm looking for? Controversial, maybe? I don't know if that's exactly the right word, but it's in the right ballpark. If this was like 10 years ago.
If it was 10 years ago, we probably wouldn't have heard word one about it.
Yeah.
Straight up, we would have heard, you know, Swagger got busted. Okay, it's the 90s, or you know, it's 10 years ago. You know, so early 2000s, people weren't really giving a shit. There wasn't that much of a focus on WWE where it's we need to make sure your business is squeaky clean as there is now. It was a completely different time. But at the same time, this whole thing of the whole Glenn Beck thing, and they're trying to play that up as opposed to ever, like, even looking like they're going to de-push Swagger or anything like that. That's the big thing that's got me, is they don't even look like they're trying to give him any type of punishment. And obviously, they're probably waiting until after WrestleMania for this. But they're basically going, here's the Glenn Beck thing. Look over here, while we quickly sweep this drug conviction thing under the rug.
No.
Until we can pull the spotlight on him and pull the spotlight off Swagger, and then we can make him disappear when you're not looking.
Okay. Now, what are the chances they're actually going to do something, and they'll do it tomorrow, but after this whole debacle, Glenn Beck parody bullshit that you know we're going to be suffering through?
I really hope they do. There was talks that, like, none of the dirt sheets reported any decisions being made or any punishments being handed down, but the talk was that they were going through a lot of rewrites.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's WWE Raw, so, you know, they'll be going through rewrites until 7 p.m.
That's part of the course. So,
but when they start talking rebooking, then yeah, if I was Swagger, I'd start worrying. I mean, until they can actually get this back on TV and change and actually do something about it. We've already gotten a bunch of videos this week from Zeb. So it's starting to make me feel like they're trying to push out whatever they have before they cut the whole thing off.
Basically, because of what happened with Swagger, just ramp it up and condense the entire 40 whatever days into maybe a week.
Something like that. I mean, unless they're planning to post about 40 of these videos between now and Mania, it does seem like, you know, the ones they have been posting have been coming pretty damn fast.
Yeah, well, you guys do realize that this whole Swagger Zeb thing is WWE's, or, you know, Vince McMahon's idea of attacking the Tea Party.
Look, and we just know, because his wife didn't win twice doesn't mean McMahon should, like, you know, stay out of politics or something. You know, God forbid he ever does that.
It's Vince McMahon, and you know that he doesn't take shit lightly or turn the other cheek or anything like that, so.
But yeah, it's one of those things of, I would just like McMahon to just, like, this is one of those call to arms things where McMahon should turn around and go, you know what, I'm gonna retire, I'm getting too old for this. Because this is just making him look like a very old, grizzled, very angry person because he didn't get his way.
Mm-hmm. Of course, this is Vince McMahon we're talking about. I mean, he likes running anyone through the dirt that defies him somehow.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. It's just, it's one of those things that make you really want McMahon to just step aside. Like, we can easily tell the difference between, you know, a McMahon-produced show and a Hunter-produced show. And what ones have we been enjoying more of? The Hunter shows.
Yeah. So it's basically, it's time for Vince to go away.
Yeah. And yeah. This is just another step in that direction of, grizzled old man, please step aside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what he finds funny, what he finds funny and attention getting is just kind of sad and petty. Though, the only reason they're doing it now is because they're trying to capitalize on what attention they are getting. Because the bad part about this is Vince McMahon's little pet project. This is, by reports, an idea that they've wanted to do for almost a year now. They gave that role to Jack Swagger. They said, okay, here, run the ball here. We're going to send you to Mania with this. And he screwed up within a month. Mm-hmm. So all the bad press, like all the bad press and attention they were already getting for this angle, yeah, it just means that when he screwed up, everyone's eyes were already on him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the worst timings you could possibly have.
Yeah, you know, you brought it up, RVD winning the WWE title at One Night Stand, and what was it, like less than a month later, busted with Soma's and Pot with Sabu.
Yeah, 3 weeks later, same situation, pulled over for DUI, drug possession.
Yeah, and just to clarify, I read this on a lot of comment boards on, you know, like, all over the internet news, wrestling news sites and stuff like that. People are assuming that he got pulled over for drunk driving.
No. People, under the influence can be many, many things.
He was under the influence of dope. In other words, he rolled and smoked the fatty before he got onto the road. Now look, you know, I think American laws on marijuana are outdated, draconian, and, you know, just like ridiculous, thanks to a certain guy who wanted to market on American newspapers. Well, you know, certain William Randolph Hearst. But, you know, marijuana shouldn't have the draconian laws against it that it does. However, it needs to be recognized that it is a mind-altering substance, just like alcohol. If you're going to smoke it, people, I don't care if you smoke it. Those of you listening to my voice, smoke it if you want. Don't get behind the wheel of a car afterwards. Wait until the buzz goes away before you drive anywhere. Jesus Christ.
But at the same time, technically speaking, he was still pulled over on a DUI because driving under the influence does also take into consideration drug use.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said,
so, technically correct.
You know,
the way the laws are set up, yes.
You know, no, the DUI, you know, okay, I agree with the charge of driving under the influence, getting charged for that. And I don't have a problem with that part of it. It's the rest of it. It's like, oh, you're smoking marijuana, you got a butt in the car, we're gonna have to arrest you and put you on dial for 50. There are guys in prison right now in Sing Sing who are still doing time for possession of a seed from the 70s, for Christ's sakes. A seed! And they're still in prison.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to leave that as Canadian law versus American law.
Well, okay. There you go.
There's two completely different law systems at work. So yep. We're going to leave that one on the side there, Tim. So shut the fuck up about it. Let's move on, shall we?
I didn't mean to get all political and shit like that. But, you know, shit happens, right?
He fucked up. He got busted. And there's got to be punishment for that, both legally and also business-related. We're just waiting for the business-related portion to show up. Because Omega and I are going to sit back and laugh our heads off.
I know there's quite a few people, you two being preeminent among everybody else, who want to see this certain particular storyline come to a grating, screeching halt.
Yeah. It goes beyond just my dislike of the storyline, though. Way beyond that. You know, it's the fact that... Keep going. Nice.
Well, let's put it this way. How did Lindsay put it on the rack that you just had to get your Schadenfreude in?
Well, that's what I said when I came on. I'm only here for the Schadenfreude. Which I kind of was, because, you know, it's no secret, I don't like Swagger. You know, he has a mouthpiece because he sucks on the mic. His wrestling ability is there, but I never put it over a mid-card level. He was the least deserving world heavyweight champion before David Arquette.
You see, WWE should have kept Kurt Angle and let Jack Swagger go to TNA.
Probably. Probably, though, still have the same drug problems, but, you know. That's another discussion.
Yeah, you get into less trouble on TNA, let's face it.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, true. Well,
you get busted with drugs in TNA, you get a world title push. Just ask Jeff Hardy.
You know, it's funny because it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was saying it on the rack. The World Heavyweight Championship has some incredible matches at Mania. I mean, Taker, you know, two of Taker's streak matches are for that particular belt. I mean, it's supposed to be a high profile, you know, one of your top tier championships. And Del Rio, okay, good champion, fine, but Swagger's only been back a month, and he was gone for six before that. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly a high profile match to put up for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Not exactly.
No, they could do so much better. So much better. So, honestly, I think this is better for the business. You know, I think we're going to get a far, far better match out of this in WrestleMania, and it's going to be about the World Heavyweight Championship, not the racist go-home foreigners storyline that it is right now. Because right now, the World Heavyweight Championship is a side note, and going into Mania, that's not... right.
I agree with you. Anybody have any closing thoughts before we move on?
I think we valiantly expressed what we thought about this whole Swagger situation.
All right.
And got a good laugh out of it in the process.
Yeah, kind of indirectly, at the very least. I think
Ziggler, please cash in tomorrow night, please.
Cash it in and get it over with. There you go. On that note, everybody, you are listening to WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to take the first time out. We'll be back right on the other side of this, talking about The Rock, John Cena, CM Punk, DDP, and a lot more. Don't go anywhere. I got you. Well, won't you? You'll cross one out of time. Because you know I know you. And I'll show you that the heat you feel is mine. Yeah, fear gripped you. And it ripped you. And you question what is true. So consider me your picture. Come to explain it all till you get on your knees. Get down on your knees. I'll bring it to your knees.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey, everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. But who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Fresh than me since 1983.
Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say? Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
And welcome back.
Pretty much.
Anyone?
Good Wild Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's still out for a smoke, so he didn't bring us back like he's supposed to, dumbass host. So we've come back. I actually missed that music as CM Punk's entrance, surprisingly.
I don't know. That song never quite clicked for me.
The only reason why I miss it is because I used it before the bastards started using it. Anyway. Son of a bitch. Anyway, I am Mace.
Well, this I'm going to interrupt you right there. I'm going to clarify something. No, I'm going to clarify something. I was in the bathroom throwing up, puking, not outside smoking. Think you continue?
Well, you had enough time to do that during the commercial break. If you can't get back in here in time for a break, that's your problem.
Hey, it's not my fault.
Hey, shut the fuck up and lead us, dickhead.
Shut the fuck up and what are we talking about?
That would be segment two.
That would be your favorite person, The Rock.
Yes, my absolutely favorite person in the whole wide world.
I'm glad you could understand sarcasm. Hey, he debuted the new WWE title. What do you think?
Best Super Bowl ring I've ever seen.
Pretty much agree there. It's great. Not a championship belt.
And yeah, I'm not a big fan of the look. It's like boring and plain and like, oh my god. But hey, at least it's not that bling bling bullshit we've had to deal with for 8 years.
That's the one credit anyone has given it so far. At least it doesn't spin.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's still bling bling. It just doesn't spin now.
So, yeah.
This is the thing. The faceplate, after having looked at it on shows, seeing pictures of The Rock with it, which makes it look 10 times bigger than it really is for some reason, you know, seeing the replicas available now at all the belt stores and everything, all I can see now on that faceplate is one of those overdone spinners that belong on, like, the four-wheel drive of a Rapstar.
Well, of course, the spinner belt hadn't spun for about 4 years.
Yeah, they broke out the old spinning one for that last appearance.
Yeah, they did. That was the first time we actually saw that one in 4 years, so.
Mm-hmm.
But
honestly,
this goddamn thing. I want to know so we don't contract this guy to create a Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
It has no personality to it. Like, okay, it kind of looks unique because it's not a solid plate. You can see the strap through it, and it makes the logo pop. I will give it that. Like, I don't care where you are, like how far away you are from the TV or how far away the action figure is. That's easy to see as the WWE Championship belt. Okay, fine. It has no personality. It is a complete blank slate. It feels like they had like this boardroom meeting where there was just, okay, we're sick of Eagles, we're sick of Globes, and they had no new ideas, and the only thing that was left was the big ass logo.
What is that?
Someone jumped out of a plane.
I think the producer's on an airplane now.
Wait.
Flying back from the Oscars?
Again.
Or is he going to Oz?
I heard John Cena fly by.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Super Cena.
Okay, now you want to know what, so this is something that actually makes me think about this belt, and like it brings up the whole thing that I hate the fact that it's another bling belt. The Rock posted an article that WWE's put on, which is how the belt was reinvented in 540 days.
Yep.
On that page, they have other articles: history of the WWE title, history of the unified titles. Take a look at the unified belt, and then have a look at the bling bling belt. Major contrast, and I still say that unified belt looks 10 times better. It looks like a championship belt. It doesn't look like a oversized Super Bowl ring. It doesn't look like a piece of bling that should be on a black guy's car. It looks like a title belt, damn it!
I'll say the unified belt never really did a lot for me. I always felt the design was kind of plain and hard to make out. And I could do without the little loopy things on the edge of the plates. but I'll give it this, it had personality. I mean, yeah, I explained it to a friend of mine, like this. All the belts before, the ones you really remember, they had, like, even the spinner has personality to it. Now, you have the Winged Eagle, the Attitude Belt, the Smoking Skull Belt, the Undisputed Belt, the Spinner Belt, the one that Rock brought out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just nothing to say about it.
Yeah, no, seriously, looking at the picture of this, it does look like a ring that you would wear if you were the champion. You know, it is like, you're saying
is
Super Bowl ring.
Version available, Tim. There probably is a version available, which is even funnier. But the other thing is going to be is once The Rock loses it, those two side plates disappear.
Yep.
There is a better looking side plate for this coming.
Yeah.
Which is the WWE logo.
Yeah, it's got the WWE logo and it's got some globes on it. But since there's no nameplate on the belt, I will bet you anything when Cena takes that belt at Mania the next night on Raw, those Brahma Bulls are going to be replaced with the You Can't See Me logo.
I saw a picture of this belt with the Undertaker's logo on it.
Those would look badass.
But of course, that means that the Undertaker would have to show his ass up and, win it.
Hey, he does house shows, unlike The Rock, okay? Let's give the old guy some credit. At least he does house shows.
You're welcome for the setup.
Thank you, and home run!
Knocked it out of the park.
But the whole thing, like, no nameplate, definitely a detraction. I like the nameplate thing because it actually means something. Because it means that you can actually identify who the champion is. There's nothing stopping Zack Ryder going out and buying this for, you know, whatever they charge. I think it was like $400 they were looking at. And walking out on Raw going, I'm the champion!
Yeah, because, you know, that's supposed to be the thing. I can say, my name is on the WWE Championship. You know, it's supposed to have weight to it. And, no, it looks exactly like any of the props you could buy.
Well, even The Rock said this himself when he went to introduce this damn thing. The WWE title is supposed to inspire people to challenge for it. It's supposed to inspire a new generation of guys to become the champion. All this thing has inspired is a lot of hate and a lot of jokes.
It doesn't inspire me to challenge for the title. Doesn't say much, though.
Though, I will admit, on Monday night, it amused me when CM Punk had the old one and pitched it down. Started going, I want that one.
It was like, that moment just made me think of him as a little kid in Toys R Us going, Mommy, I want that figure.
So, CM Punk wins the belt. Do we see the Pepsi logo on the other side?
No. It'd be funny. But
yeah,
no.
It would be funny.
No, it'd be his little lightning bolt hand.
I think that we should petition to have at least one, you know, one side, one of the plates. The Pepsi logo, just for shits and giggles.
I could see CM
Punk. If you work a sponsorship.
I could see Punk getting, like, stickers and putting a Pepsi logo on one side and the Cobra logo on the other.
Mm-hmm.
To match his tattoos.
You know, okay, Rock corrected us. The nameplate only started in 2002, so this is not an unusual thing. It was still cooler with the nameplate.
Put damn nameplate on it. We'll make it better.
Subtly being prodded and poked till we like this damn thing.
Yeah, I want a reason to like it other that does not begin with a phrase, at least it's not.
Yeah, that seems like the best of a bad situation, right? Pretty much that's what it is.
Pretty much.
Now, there's a title that we need to see. Right there, that link that Rock just posted.
Load faster photo bucket.
Not bad. I'm still waiting for the McDonald's championship to make its way through.
No, you see, if Punk gets to bring out that belt, then the World Heavyweight Championship needs to come out with a Coke logo.
And then we have a unification. What's better, Pepsi or Coke?
Yeah, you unify it, and it's like got like a Mr. Pibb logo on it now.
Yeah, it becomes Dr. Pepper. Or Mug Root Beer.
It's Tab.
Tab?
I don't even know if Tab's around anymore.
What the hell is Tab? Oh, my God.
It's the little key on my keyboard.
Tab? Holy Christ. How old are you, Omega?
Hey, I know some weird references, okay?
No shit, Dick Tracy.
Oh, which reminds me, this has nothing to do with anything. Rock, yes, I've seen it, thank you. Jeez. No, Tim, I'll tell you this, Tim, because you'll get some amusement out of this. The other day I got assigned to make my grandmother lunch. So, and she always has a glass of milk with it. And, I got her, so I get out of the cup, I pour the milk, and I only have enough for like half of it. So I go into the fridge. The old milk was 2%, and then the only other milk we had was skim, and I hesitated.
Uh-oh.
Just for a second.
Do you have any idea what's flashing through my head right now?
I hope so, because you're the only one who would get the reference.
You mix 2% with skim milk, dip a chocolate chip cookie, that shit blows up in your face.
Thank you.
For those of you who are under the age of 33, that's a Richard Pryor joke after he lit himself on fire when he was speedballing cocaine. And I thank you for giving me my nightly chuckle.
Someone has to.
If you want something that's going to make you laugh and at the same time be torture, Barbara Streisand's on the Oscars.
Oh.
Hey, I've got widescreen that's still not big enough for a nose.
And you have Triple H's fits.
In some quarters, that could be looked at as an anti-Semitic joke. Shame on you, Mace. As you know, here at the Wild Talk Radio Network, none of us engage in anti-Semitic jokes.
No, not ever.
So. We like to, but someone won't budget for them.
Well, don't look at me. I mean, I'm not giving you any money for it, but don't look at me. Anyway.
Hey, look, as I have pointed out many times, I'm an equal opportunity racist. I hate everybody like equally.
There you go. That's all that matters.
Thank you, Zeb.
Oh, God. Okay, don't start that up again. Tomorrow night, John Cena takes on CM Punk at stake. Number one contendership going into WrestleMania. I have a theory. At some point during that match, we're going to hear a gong, guys. Yes? No?
Maybe.
I think after the match.
Secure the number one position
and then...
What I'm saying at some point includes immediately after the match.
It's like, I would prefer it if it didn't go immediately after the match. I'd like to give Punk a little bit of time to rant about how he deserves respect.
So you want
so
him
kind
on
of
the mic
tie that
after
yeah,
the
just
match
kind of
or just, before?
Just to kind of after the match when he's
okay.
Raving and bitching about I should have won.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So the speculation since what, last July, was Undertaker versus CM Punk at WrestleMania. Do you see this match tomorrow night as the setup for that?
Pretty much. If it goes the way Omega's done it, yeah. Mm. There's your setup.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm booking better shit than the WWE.
Or they're going to be listening to us tonight and say, hey, we should do that on Raw. And then what we're telling you tonight's going to happen.
WWE, Swagger gets impatient, demands his title match tomorrow night. Del Rio beats him. Then Ziggler cashes in. New Mania match set up. Your embarrassment is pushed to the side. And everyone can be happy. Just suggesting.
And you can PayPal the paycheck too? But yeah, let's not kid ourselves. Like they played this whole John Cena CM Punk match for tomorrow night last week, they played it up as sort of a, almost a red herring, but I wouldn't really call it that. It's like giving people false hope.
Okay.
It's giving the, all smart marks a bit of false hope. You know, they want to see CM Punk knock John Cena off the pedestal and see Rock versus Punk at Mania or a three-way or something like that.
You and see, this right
is
now...
This is to give them the hope.
Yeah,
but
right now...
At the same time, we all know it's a fucking lock.
Yeah, you see, right now, Mace, there's just like something about that that could be said concerning get over it, the whole WWE storylines are not about you, but I'm not going to try to weave that in there and make it fit.
Hey, look, I know WWE, I'm booking them to make me fucking happy.
Well, yeah, that's pretty evident because you're not too pleased with what's been going on lately, so.
No.
Yeah.
I have to rag you on that. Come on.
That's fine. But look, fucking go me on it or whatever you fucking like. I really don't care. At this point, don't try and sell me bullshit as snow. Okay. we know now since Royal Rumble, we've known since pretty much Royal Rumble that it is a lock for John Cena versus The Rock at Mania. That's your main event. Stop trying to tell me it's possibly going to be otherwise. Because I ain't buying what you're selling.
There you go.
I made my peace with this shit.
Well,
I'm sorry, I'm trying to imagine WWE booking to make Mace happy, and all I can see is The Rock being scheduled to be set on fire 4 times on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, you know that at draw ratings.
Sure, why not?
But at the same time, here it is. I might not like what's happening, but I've made my peace with it.
Okay. There's something to be said about making your peace with shit. That is being sold to you as if it were snow, I guess. I don't know. But on that note, why don't we take our second time out of the evening? Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right on the other side of this. We've got a lot more coming your way. Don't go anywhere. Girl, I love and I'll lie, forget you. I'm just a change in my pocket, wasn't enough. I'll lie, forget you. And forget what are you doing playing the radio editor?
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather stream retires. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
I got a
Camel
light.
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street. Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
kicked is 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get by on my fucking 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight. We're as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Yo, monkey, it's me, D.P., the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, monkey, for you, you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. That's a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Self high five.
Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're coming in listening to a little bit of DDP noise and then a little bit of DDP music that sounds suspiciously like Smells Like Teen Spirit, which was, of course, a song made famous by Nirvana.
I thought it sounded like the song Smells Like Nirvana by Weird Al Yankovic.
No, it's Smells Like Nirvana is faster. A lot faster. I know because what I used to do when I was a disc jockey, I would take both of those songs and just mix them back and forth. People weren't sure what the hell was going on. It was funny. It was great. It was good. It was a good time. But holy cow, did I ever have to speed up Smells Like Teen Spirit and slow down Smells Like Nirvana just to make it work.
The funniest thing you can ever do at a club is play Weird Al songs. Just play them straight because everybody, especially if you get it at the right time where he's just released a new album, which has all the, like, the more recent, the more current songs together, and you put it on, and people in the club start dancing to it, and then they hear the lyrics, and they stop.
And they go, like, what the hell?
Yeah. Why is Lady Gaga singing about food?
Yeah, no, seriously, as funny as that is, Mason, that's funny as hell. It's funnier when you beat match the two different versions. You start off, you make it a 10-minute song because, let's face it, nightclubs, everything's 10 minutes long. You play 5 minutes of the first song, and then you swap it. And nobody's expecting it. And it's even funnier when you swap it out. Just saying.
I'll take your word for it. all I can remember is... Weird Al's Trash Day, the song that was based on, was really... When that was really popular, and he just brought out the Poodle Hat album that had that song on there, I got the DJ to play it in a club.
Yeah.
And the reaction on people's faces when they heard the lyrics was awesome. Because they all stopped and they're going, wait, that's the right beat, it's the right music, but why is he singing about trash? and of course, I'm sitting offside in a booth with a bourbon, just pissing myself laughing. It was great. I'm sorry. I think it was Rock, remind me. Was it Rob Parks who said that he'd make sure the club is standing, that he'd hold up the wall in the commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I make sure the club's still standing. I am a nerdy white guy. I can't dance worth a shit, so I make sure the club stands.
There you go. And everybody, every single nightclub needs about a half a dozen guys like that. Just leaned up against the wall with their bourbon or their Jack and Coke or whatever, not moving. Because if they ever got off that... Oh, God.
He mentioned white and nerdy, so I have to play it.
That show died. Don't play that music.
Who are you trying to piss off more, Mace or Omega?
I wasn't trying to piss off anyone.
Well, you realize your sense of humor pisses off a lot of people a lot of the time. I've been trying to tell you this. What you find is funny is only found funny by you half the time.
And the funny thing, and the thing is, Omega and I both find that funny. It's just sad that we're still getting reminded of OTL.
Yeah.
It's funny as hell to me too. Anyway.
Let it go, Rock. It's the Attitude Era. You can't live in it.
I didn't make the OTL joke. I used to play White and Nerdy because he mentioned White and Nerdy and Weird Al. Nothing to do with OTL. Maze brought up OTL.
So there you go.
There was no OTL joke coming from me. I was just, in the Weird Al folder.
Because he was in a Weird Al frame of mind.
We all need help. Speaking of help, let's go to our next story.
Because Scott Hall is actually getting help.
There we go.
Yeah.
Wait, fuck it.
Yeah, the whole 15 minutes was a setup for that. Come on. Yeah, it's Scott Hall is getting help with DDP and DDP Yoga. And this past week there have been photographs circulating around the interweb of Scott Hall, all gray-haired and confined to a wheelchair. On one side is DDP, and a just absolute mind-blower on the other side was Jake the Snake Roberts.
Who looks like Jake the Snake again.
Yes, so there's got to be something to this DDP yoga.
Oh, there is. We did say it as we're preparing, and hopefully coming soon, 28 days before WrestleMania. We've been going back and looking over riffs of previous, WrestleManias, and we put up a Jake the Snake match, and we're looking at that and going, "Fuck me, that's how good DDP yoga is." He's been able to get Jake back into the shape that he was back then. And yep, we're talking the blindfold match, so that's many, many years ago, so this shit works.
I remember Jake's blindfold match.
If he can do what 20 years of rehab attempts failed to do and actually pull Scott Hall out of this,
that will be impressive as hell.
He will never stop selling DVDs. He won't be able to print enough of them.
Well, everybody is swearing by DDP yoga, and all I can say is if the damn thing works, great. I'm happy to hear that. I'm less optimistic about Scott Hall, not because I don't believe in DDP yoga, but because it's Scott Hall. I mean, let's face it, right?
No. I actually, I would have been right there with you, except for the fact of that phone call, the video that went up on YouTube of the phone call, and then seeing Scott Hall arriving at the airport. Sure, he arrived in a wheelchair, but the fact that on that phone call, while Hall was drunk on a phone call he can't even remember, because they pulled it down then put it back up with Scott Hall explaining his side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul can't remember that phone call. And in that phone call, he said, "I want to change. I need help. I need this. I will do this." And to see him still follow through on it, that's showing that Paul wants to change. Paul wants this.
And if and it's the one thing that's being said, it was the same with Jake. The first step is you need to want to change.
Yeah, you can't, you know, all the intervention in the world isn't going to do fuck all if you don't accept it. And hopefully he has finally and this will be a permanent acceptance of the fact he does and has needed help for the last better part of two decades.
Indeed.
So I'm hoping that everything turns out and he gets back on track and he's not going to be the Scott Hall of old, but let's hope that we all have a chance to cast our eyes on an old Scott Hall.
There's video,
eventually.
There's video on the DDP Young YouTube channel with Jake and Scott Hall talking, and Scott Hall talks about how he wants the change, how he's dying. You know, he really wants this change to happen. He wants his self confidence back. Because of all the weight he's put on.
Which is great. Like, it's not going to be just a physical change. It's the fact that Paul's already going through the mental change that is required for a program like this. You know, sure, he could be the Scott Hall of old and go, yeah, I'll do it. And he goes through, does it, and then falls back off the wagon. But the thing is, the way that we've seen this work with Jake already, Paige is not going to let that happen. Paige is going to keep a very close eye on Scott Hall, and he's going to make sure that this takes hold before he even lets him go. Which could take, you know, could take 6 months, could take 12 months, could take longer. But at the same time, it's one of these things that we're all praying for the long run. We're praying to see this happen and work. And to be honest, if there's somebody that's going to be around Scott Hall that can help, it's going to be Jake the Snake Roberts. If there's anybody you could compare Hall to, it's Jake. At least in the terms of the drinking and the drugs and, you know, being out of shape and all that. It's definitely, having Jake there is going to be a good inspiration for Scott Hall. That, and I want to see all three of them getting pedicures now.
Pedicures.
Oh, if you haven't seen it, that's a funny-ass video.
I haven't seen it.
Diamond Dallas Page and Jake the Snake Robert getting pedicures. It is hilarious.
Yeah, okay, I'll take your word for it. So, I guess that's pretty much all we can talk about for the moment until we get more news on it.
Yes, so follow DDP's YouTube channel. There'll be lots of updates.
Yeah. Now, we can talk a little bit about DDP's buddy, Scott Hall's buddy, Kevin Nash, if you want, guys.
Can we, Tim?
I actually served as a security for Kevin Nash and John Morrison at the autograph table on Friday night at Next Generation Wrestling. I was drafted to make sure that people were kept orderly in line and all this other fun stuff. And I was also relegated to snapping pictures of fans with Kevin Nash at the same time.
Okay, and how many times did Kevin stand up for photos before he blew his quad?
Oh, no, he didn't bugger up his leg until the wrestling match itself, but I'll tell you about that in a bit. Yes, yeah, there's just something. There are a couple of guys in the back who were a little put off and put out by Nash because he seemed to them to be a little, you know, standoffish and, you know, like didn't pay any attention to them when they were talking to him or anything like that. And I'm standing beside him. And we're talking, and this guy, special needs kid, comes up and gets his mom to spend like $60 at the autograph table. Just getting all of these pictures, like Nash is selling, autographed 8x10s for $15 a pop. And the kid had to have one of every single one of them autographed. Mm-hmm. And this kid happens to be one of, not just Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, but one of my bigger fans, too. He's at every single Canadian All-Pro show, and he's the first one there every show, and he won't stop talking to me, whether the show's on or not. He's got to be, like, right there. He's invited me to hockey games, the Calgary Flames games. He's handed me a schedule and said, you pick anyone you want, and it's my treat, we'll go. I'm like, well, that's really nice, thank you. But this kid just would not leave Nash alone because he wanted pictures, he wanted everything. Nash was being a nice guy and about it and everything. But I could tell he was starting to get, okay, you know, it's time for you to move on. So I leaned over discreetly and said, yeah, this kid is one of my, he's one of my biggest fans. And of course, naturally, when you say something like that to somebody of the stature of Kevin Nash, and you are who you are, you can imagine the kind of look that I got from Kevin.
Who the fuck are you?
Pretty much. It's like, okay, right. I'm the guy from WCW. I created NWO. I'm Big Daddy. Who the fuck are you? You got a thing. You know, stuff like that. And I said, before he turned away, I said, let me just let you know who I am. And I whipped out one of my business cards from my back pocket and handed it to him. And he looks at this business card. And he goes, Canadian All-Pro, I know you guys. Don't you run all over Canada? And I'm like, how the hell did you hear of Canadian All-Pro Wrestling? Secondly, no, dude, we run in Calgary. We're a very small show. Boom. So he takes the card, flips it over, and on the back of it, he gives me his phone number. And I'm just looking for the card right now. Here it is. And the phone number is, everybody get your pens ready, 38. No, never mind. But I've got it here on the back of the business card that I handed it to him. He hands it to me. And after he hands it to me, I'm looking for my own pen in my pockets. I'm looking for it. And just as I find the pen, he leans over and says, oh, you might want to write Kevin Nash on there. And I said, yeah, you're right, because I don't want to wake up tomorrow and look at the number and say, boy, I hope she was hot. He got a chuckle out of that one. Thought it was kind of humorous.
Yeah, wow. Kevin's a very weird guy from what I've heard.
Well, there's a little bit more to it. I discovered what his standoffishness was on Friday night. I looked into his eyes, and he was not all there.
Wait. Kevin Nash wasn't all there.
He was not exactly completely 100% in the building, if you get my drift, guys.
I'm so shocked.
Yeah, the lights were on and half the family was at a picnic. He had definitely taken something that day.
More metaphors, Tim. I'm not quite clear on this.
The guy was stoned, right? God damn it, he was stoned. Now, I couldn't, I'm not gonna do anything overly inflammatory other than tell you, in my opinion, it appeared to me as if Kevin Nash may have been under the influence. Possibly. There, did I cover my ass enough to keep the lawyers off me?
The views and opinions of Tim... So,
hold on. Before you go into the usual spiel, Kevin on something, you know, the guy who did a sit-down interview drunk?
Yep.
Yeah,
he wasn't drunk.
Impossible. No, there's actually an interview out there that he did. A dude went to his home... And Kevin went through four bottles of fucking wine during the interview.
That would be kayfabe commentaries you shoot with Kevin Nash.
Yeah, so it was rather dispiriting and disappointing to see that. Although, you know, certain individuals in the back were handing out Bud. You know, we're talking about Jack Swagger. I'm not going to name names or anything like that or get... too specific about anything. I'm already going to be in enough trouble as it is just talking about this the way I am. But
you're talking to somebody that's seen the Sandman get stoned.
Yeah, but just for the sake of anybody who might be listening live or to the archive, I'll tell you guys off the air why I'm being so couched with everything. But yeah, there are certain individuals who were rolling up Bud, smoking them in the car in the back in the pavilion, and handing them out to other certain individuals who shall remain nameless. So I shouldn't have been too shocked or surprised, but yeah, I was really disappointed. I was. And then the match that he was in, he replaced Jay Lethal. because Jay Lethal got dropped on his head and suffered a concussion a few days earlier.
No, I thought he replaced Davey Richards.
Didn't he? Was it Davey Richards or Jay Lethal? Jay Lethal was replaced, and so was Davey Richards.
Yeah, I think Nash replaced Richards.
Okay, Nash, I guess, replaced Richards. Somebody else replaced Jay Lethal.
Mm-hmm.
But, so it was all announced, and Diesel's music hit. They didn't play the NWO Wolfpack, which I was kind of surprised by. But I have never heard his music played quite that loud. I have never heard anybody's entrance music played quite that loud at the Pavilion. The DJ just, he cranked it up to 11. You know how all other amps go up to 10? Well, this was cranked up to 11. And it was so loud, my ears started bleeding, I swear to God. But he gets into the ring, and he delivers his famous leg lifts to, I think it was Trent Beretta, in the corner. And made a couple other moves, and he was going to go to chokeslam the guy he was facing. Somebody came in and chop-blocked him from behind. Well, let's realize something, kids. You, all of you tuned in and listening, and everybody on this panel here, you realize that I'm not giving away a lot of secrets to you, at least, when I let you know that moves like this are all choreographed and pre-planned and decided upon ahead of time. Nash knew the chop block. Yeah, Nash knew the chop block was coming. He took it wrong and buggered up his left leg. And so he spent the majority of, and it was like a six-man fatal six-way or something like that match.
Six-man fatal four-way?
Yeah, something like that. You know, it was one of Teddy Hart's screwed-up bookings. Anyway, he spent almost all of the rest of the match on his backside in the middle of the ring while everybody is wrestling around him. And I got to the point, the EMTs actually brought out this weird-looking stretcher from the back that looked like a dolly with a seat and a seatbelt.
Okay.
Yeah, by the time the end of the match came on, one of the guys was supposed to get, counted out because he got cracked over the back of the head with a chair, which happened. The guy who did it had already been eliminated. He got his ass hauled in the ring for the expected beatdown. Nash finally gets off his ass, stands up on one leg, and grabs a guy, bends him over, shoves him between his legs, down come the straps, and there's the power bomb. And then Nash falls back down on his ass in the corner.
Well, he got a spot in.
He got the spot in, yes. Okay, so, good on you for getting the spot in, Kev. I mean, that was, good work. Great job. But still, and of course, Kevin Nash was supposed to advance to the tournament final for the inaugural NGW heavyweight title. He basically gave up his spot for the guy who got counted out because of the chair shot. And pretty much he gave up his spot because there's no way in hell he could wrestle. And then, he was gone immediately after. He didn't even stay in the building. So.
Hashtag typical Nash.
There you go. And, of course, the big news is John Morrison is the inaugural NGW heavyweight champion. They got another show planned for the middle of April. Now, here's the thing about it. The first show they did was under the moniker Heart Legacy Wrestling. Mm-hmm. You guys all know the story of what happened at the show and for several weeks afterwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could make a comment, but I'll be good.
Yeah, the Calgary screw job, as it were.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
We'll go with that one, because I think I knew where you were going. Am I right?
Yeah, just move on. It's better that you move on than I don't say, open my mouth.
Yeah, you opening your mouth is nothing but a disaster. Anyway.
For you, it will be.
Yeah, shut up. I will definitely hurt you.
That sounded so wrong when you just hear those two lines.
Anyway. Moving right along. They were claiming 1,700 people at the inaugural show. There was about maybe 12 or 13 paid, and then 500 comps. easily at the first show. The second show, and you can lay the majority of the blame for it over the shenanigans that happened with the inaugural show, 500 people showed up. This presentation suffered the same problem as the first one. The wrestling show actually started pretty close to on time this time. So, like, they started wrestling, like, by 7:15. Nice one, Rock.
Like I said, I can't, you know, say these things on air.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to whine about it. Ooh. But anyway.
Continue.
Anyway, yeah, where was it? Quit sidetracking me, you fucker. Yeah, again, the show didn't end until like 11:30, 11:45, and they lost half of their audience. There's a guy in Calgary named Bob Johnson, very, very, very famous in Calgary and Alberta on the Alberta professional wrestling scene. He told me near the end of the night it was one of the worst shows he has ever seen in his life. So, they're gonna really have to work their asses off at fixing shit like, what's been happening. And, Next Generation Wrestling, just so everybody knows, it's owned and operated by Teddy Hart and his father, BJ Annis. And, Spencer Tapley, after being, relieved of his duties with Hart Legacy Wrestling, which, I guarantee you, despite what they say, we'll never do another show in this town again, did as admirable a job as he could with everything. And hats off to Spencer, despite all of the problems he had to deal with. But, yeah, anyway. So there's the stuff that was happening with NGW Wrestling. And I'm not trying to piss anybody off or anything. The wrestling itself was absolutely awesome. It was great. Fantastic. They took three intermissions, for Christ's sakes. One of them was because they had to get the popcorn out of the ring after one of the wrestlers beat up another wrestler with a bowl of a bucket of popcorn.
And wasn't so, there was, like a pre-show and then a live pay-per-view?
Well, it was like they call it a dark match. And the dark match, you know, that's the absolute start of the live event where they started practically almost on time, close enough, right? But, yeah, the dark match for the pay-per-view, the internet pay-per-view version of the wrestling show. Of course, naturally, the dark match was for the house crowd only. Didn't make the iPay-per-view,
which is apparently free.
Yes, it's they're giving it away, but they're going to sell the DVD. Right. I guess they had the single camera shoot of the event. They're saying it was raw and unedited. And if you want to, if it was the 5-hour long version, you guys will fall asleep before it's over. I'm sorry.
So it's unedited except for the, you know, cut out intermissions.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, I'm falling asleep and I'm just hearing about it.
Yeah, it was that bad. Or good, depending on your point of view.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they want to keep running, they're going to have to tighten shit up, and that's all there is to it. And I don't think that Martin Short Carlo has that much say in, you know, tightening everything up. But if he does, I don't think he does. If he did, then things would be running a lot better than they are.
Yeah, I don't think he's involved in the production aspect of it.
Yeah. And Mace, your last comment? I have to agree with you 100%. Big time.
Thank you very much.
Pardon the play on words.
That's okay. I'm sort of half distracted. I just got some review material coming.
So moving along.
Yeah, next item up for auction.
Is what,
would
Tim?
Be... The round table.
This would be the round table. Fancy dancing round table with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
That's two songs that have wrecked my soul this evening.
And made Kane Kittens a very happy Arizonan.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, he had his, you know, weirdness this week. He had snow.
Yeah, what the hell? I saw that. That was awesome. Meanwhile, it's like 40 degrees in Calgary.
Anyway, roundtable, Tim.
Yeah. Okay, roundtable topic for tonight. Everybody in the chat room, please play along and post your thoughts and opinions if you wish. Who do you think will be the biggest star in wrestling 5 years from now, Mace?
5 years from now, biggest star in wrestling in 5 years. Would it still be John Cena? But we'll go from number two onward, shall we? Biggest waste of potential? Probably Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. those two have big futures ahead of them. The other guy, he's so blending into the background, he's practically invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Until he spears somebody out of fucking nowhere, but then again, that's how he gets the out of nowhere bit. At the moment, in 5 years, we can pretty much expect things to still be like they are. That's how stagnant the company is right now. There's not really anyone that you can sit there and go, he's going to be a huge star in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're still going to be relying on the same main guys year after year. So I don't think we're getting to the point yet where we can start that transition period into the next set of stars. Give it maybe another 10 or so years, and then maybe we'll start hitting that transition period. But biggest star in the next 5 years? It's probably still going to be reliant on guys like Cena. I'm sorry to say, but all you can say is who's going to advance in rank. Then, yeah, your guys like your Ziggler's, Dean and Seth, you know, those guys are going to be up in that higher echelon.
Uh-huh.
But they're not going to be the biggest star.
Okay. And that's
I pretty much agree with that. Cena's the company man, and since he was born on the planet Krypton, we'll still be fine in 5 years. Unfortunately, it is hard to say, because, yes, WWE is very stagnant, but at the same time, when people do get elevated and pushed, it's because of the failures that you don't expect from one or the other. You know, I expect Ziggler to advance very well because of the failures of The Real American. But you look at the guy who is going to WrestleMania with a title, regardless of the situation, Del Rio, and, you know, he's pretty much in that spot because Rey Mysterio ended up, you know, being a complete bust. That's one of the reasons they elevated him, because they wanted that, you know, like that Hispanic hero, because they're going for that market. And Sin Cara was a bust, and Rey Mysterio is always busted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. It's not only hard to tell because WWE is very stagnant and they always play it safe, but it's also hard to tell because you never know what will just kind of, you know, whatever little moment of fate decides that now it's time for someone else to come up. I mean, we know WWE is very high on the Shield. Even Roman Reigns, despite being, you know, just the big guy that stands behind everyone else, because he's big and, when he wants to be, very intense in the ring. So, you know, of course, that makes Vince happy. But all three of them have such amazing star power. All three of them can get it done so well. And they've only had three matches, and they've been stellar matches. It's such a promising future for those three.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 5 years from now, yeah, we're pretty much going to see the same standards. You know, Cena, it's going to be Cena, Sheamus, maybe Del Rio, though I'm sure I've heard him say he didn't want to, he wanted to retire sooner than later. You know, Big Show will be gone. I don't see him lasting another 5 years. You know, Kane will either be gone or on his last year. So they're going to have to elevate somebody. You know, and Ziggler and The Shield are kind of the standouts right now. I really don't see who else they've even built up to approach that yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to narrow it down to two people. Yeah, sure, Cena will probably still be around, and he'll still be the name of the company. That doesn't mean he's going to be the biggest star. I think that day is already come and gone, to tell you the truth. I don't think he's going to be WWE's biggest star again. I will say one of two people, Dolph Ziggler, or somebody who's not in the company yet, from everything that I've seen so far. Yeah, sure, you know, you're talking about the Shield, the guys making up the Shield. They're going to be in the upper echelon. They're going to be, you know, top of the heap. You got Rollins and Ambrose. You know that both of those guys are destined for greatness. Swagger, it's an experiment that has failed three times already. It's not going anywhere. CM Punk, if he decides he doesn't, if he doesn't decide he wants to retire, he'll still be around and he'll still be, right at the top. But I think the biggest star will either be Ziggler or somebody we have yet to meet.
Actually, we've probably met him before, but he's in ROH and no one's paying attention.
Well, yet to meet in WWE. Do you like that for a clarification?
It will be.
Okay, that'll work better.
It will be Tommy Taylor.
Tommy Taylor?
Tommy Taylor will be the biggest
star. Oh, come on,
star.
Get it right. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's going to be Fandango.
No, it's Tommy Taylor, you know, steel horsing.
Yeah, no, it'll be
It's
going to
be Sugar Dunkerton. We know this already.
Coming soon to KV Frosting.
Whoever it is, we know Alan's interviewed them.
Sweet. We've been waiting for someone from Florida to be in the WWE. That's not The Rock.
Jeez.
So, anyway.
Anyway, yeah, that's the roundtable, guys. Okay, like it's, what, 13 minutes to the top of the hour. We can take one more break, or we can get right into buy and sell. Your call. Time for buy and sell.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell.
No! 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 No!
Yes, Tim, we're going right to buy and sell.
I thought it was our call. I didn't call shit.
I never specified who was in charge of making the call.
Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray is the main event for Lockdown. Buy or sell, Tim.
Sell that shit. I'm not interested in either one of them. Sorry. Bye. Keep my money and go spend it on a WWE title championship bout.
Omega.
This is going to hurt. But with the environment TNA has right now...
You're going to buy it, you motherfucker.
Even me that gives a fuck about TNA, I know how much they've put into both of these guys, and when you've only got... 4 pay-per-views in the year. Good move on them, but they need to make sure everyone counts as much as possible, and these are the two guys they've invested in the most. So, yeah, buying.
Mace.
I'm buying it.
Feeling clean.
I'm buying it. I've seen what they've done with Bully, especially if they give him the win. I'm all for it. Guy's earned his way into his spot. He's really improved. As for Jeff Hardy, yeah, it's Jeff Hardy. Who gives a flying fuck, really? But at the same time, I can buy this as a main event level now. Whereas this would have been a mid-card in the WWE.
Buy or sell social media SmackDown. The concept. Omega.
What the fuck is the concept?
Thanks for asking.
They're going to use top videos. They're going to do interactive polls all throughout, you know, SmackDown this Friday.
This is going to be a disaster.
So you're selling it.
Yeah.
What about you, Omega? I mean...
It's going to be a lot. Okay. They're going to air TAF videos from people. Guess what? That means that a lot of the show is going to be taken up by people who aren't even paid to be actors.
By people who should be paid not to get in front of a video camera.
For those wondering exactly what it is, take a listen to this. If it works.
Next Friday, the show that took over Friday nights becomes the social center of the WWE Universe. It's Social Media Smackdown, the live social media event where your voice will be heard with live tweets, what's trending now, interactive fan polls, touts to the world, and more. Vote, participate, and connect. Social Media Smackdown.
Okay. Yeah, well,
so are they broadcasting SmackDown live?
No, it's being taped on Tuesday.
What?
It's being taped on Tuesday in Oklahoma.
Fuck off.
Welcome to How to Fuck Up Your Show Live. Yeah, I'll jump in here selling that shit because while they're taping it, they're putting tout out there, which means we have people who, as Tim said, should not be in front of a fucking camera.
Thank you!
And you'll be running live interactive polls, which won't mean anything!
Live interactive polls?
Mace.
How is that going to work on a taped program?
Mace,
think
about this, Mace. You get it on Thursday.
Exactly! I get it a day before everybody else! I will know the outcome like a fucking person with a crystal ball!
Wait a minute, does Mace get it on his Thursday or our Thursday?
Your Thursday.
Our Thursday.
That's your Friday. You're still getting it on Friday.
I'm still getting it on Friday, but all this live interaction shit won't happen till Saturday afternoon,
Mace,
my time.
What? Mace, email me the results to all the polls. I could make so much money off of this.
Yeah, okay, you know what? I fuck the copyright, fuck all that shit. You know what? I'm gonna fucking record SmackDown, and before it goes to air, I'm gonna fucking throw it up on a stream. We're gonna watch and commentate and laugh at this shit before it even goes to air in the States.
You're gonna get so busted.
Spoilers! This is how we're gonna fucking do it!
You'll be so busted.
Oh, who gives a shit? We'll just create 8,000 channels like everybody else does.
Maybe I'll just watch Wrath of the Titans, you know.
Oh god. This is the stupidest thing I have. Oh my god.
It's a testing ground for them, doing it on Monday nights. So, Tim, buy or sell.
Okay, so they're testing it for Monday nights.
On a tape show, yes.
On a tape show.
Yeah.
It's going to work out so well.
There won't be any kinks, Tim.
And it's this Friday coming up?
Mm-hmm. You know what?
I'm going to actually be in Strathmore. I don't have to go there for any reason, but I'm going to make sure I'm in Strathmore.
You know what? Strike this. I changed my answer. I'm buying this. I want to see what a fucking train wreck this leads to.
Yeah, there's that part to it.
Yeah, but, okay. Yeah, no, I'll put it to you this way. For those of you who want to know how much of a train wreck this is going to be, tune into the Rack on Thursday night. Because usually by the time we start, about half an hour after we start that, is usually when SmackDown starts for me. So you're going to hear me pissing myself laughing, and you're going to know why.
Holy shells, bud.
All the live poll results and all the live touts that people sent in 4 minutes ago. This is going to be the most stage-rigged bullshit I've ever seen.
But I thought we were not talking about Taboo Tuesday.
The hell did that
come? More rigged than that.
Oh, come on. How rigged was Taboo Tuesday? Really?
So rigged we're not talking about it. Anyway, moving on. Tim and Mace and Omega buy or sell Cody Rhodes and Caitlyn as a pairing. Omega.
When did that happen?
It's a rumored pairing.
What kind of bet did she lose? Or he?
There were some videos between the two of them on SmackDown, and she likes his mustache.
It's a work.
Asking the question, what do you think of the pairing, Omega?
Eh? You shouldn't be in singles going after girls anyway. I'm sorry, I don't care about this pairing. They already broke up the good pairing that he was in.
So you're selling this?
Yeah.
Okay. Mace.
You know what?
Here
I'll
it comes.
Buy it. I'll buy it. Only because I knew eventually that mustache was going to lead him into a porn career.
I was waiting, and Mace did not disappoint.
Look, this sounds like something that Spug would find in his porn collection.
If you... Let's not talk about Spug's porn collection. That could be really creepy.
His porn collection is illegal in 30 states. Be careful, man.
but still, it's like you knew eventually that they were going to have some sort of pairing between Cody Rhodes and some female that's dumb as a brick. And because honestly, with a mustache like that, the dude is only good for porn. So why not just go down that route? Just go with the glaringly obvious. And if you want to get a bit freaky, add Sandow to the mix.
Okay, now that just gets into 70s porn. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the only reason why I'll buy it, is because this seemed like the only logical step to take with Cody Rhodes. Put him in porn. Porn
of course,
it.
Wait. Yeah, of course, if we're going to do 70s porn, he has to let his dick grow sideburns. I mean...
Tim, your turn.
Don't ever make me think about Cody Rhodes' dick ever again.
With or without sideburns?
Ooh.
Anything.
Okay, and anyway, Tim, buy or sell.
Sell, goddammit, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Ugh! I'm just totally grossed out by this conversation, thanks to Omega.
Thanks to me!
You're the one who started it!
Tim, if you think this is gross, you should hear some of the conversations that we get on Tuesdays.
You know what? I have. Forget it.
No, after kayfabe.
Yeah, no, I've heard some of these convos.
Remember, he's dealt with Spug before.
Yeah. I think that the last three Tuesdays, the first thing we hear out of Spug is something about his dick.
Which is just basically a normal everyday conversation with Spug. Come on. Seriously.
And you guys, yeah, anyway, moving on.
Yeah, move on, Rod.
Next segment.
Let's talk talk.
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE Hardcore Champion of all time.
Well, as you see, Spike Dudley staggering around, and then out of nowhere, look at this, Hurricane comes flying in. He really can't fly.
It wasn't a bird, it wasn't a plane.
It was Hurricane.
It was Hurricane.
And he's our new Hardcore Champion here in the WWF.
Quick, it's a motorcycle.
In hell.
Oh, wait a minute!
What?
Mighty Molly! I don't believe it. Mighty Molly has just defeated...
He hit the Hurricane with a frying pan!
I thought she was a sidekick.
Listen, I'm the Hardcore Champion! I'm a winner, baby! Yeah! What the... What are you...
Hey, wait a minute! There's Maven! Maven rolling on Christian! Maven's regained the Hardcore title! And now he's taking Christian's cap!
Now step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
Up first, Steve Blackman takes on Kay Quick. Omega.
Kay Quick was a hardcore champion?
Mm-hmm.
Eesh.
Yeah, have you got a cup of coffee? Drink half of it.
I'm going with Blackman just because it fits him better, and I can actually remember some of his hardcore championship reigns.
Mace.
Blackman, same reasons as Omega.
Tim.
Yeah, well, Blackman, because if you don't pick him, he'll give you a good swift kick in the butt.
Nice one, Tim. I like that tie-in. And no one probably gets that reference but me.
Well, you know, I'm sure there may have been one or two people who heard that promo.
Yeah, but that was years ago. Anyway,
like 2006.
That's like 7-8 years ago.
I know when it was. Move on.
Spike Dudley versus Molly Holly. Mace.
I need Molly.
I would actually like to see this as a match. And you got to go old school Spike Dudley. I'm talking overalls, tie-dye shirt, big thick rimmed glasses, you know.
With the white tape.
Yeah, with the white tape going up against Mighty Molly. That would be an absolutely hilarious matchup.
And hillbilly hayseed hair.
Yes.
Paint a picture.
however, at this point with the great debate that we've got going at the moment, Spike Dudley, I barely remember. Like, I don't even remember him even having the title once, really. Mighty Molly, on the other hand, well, she won with a frying pan to the head. That is indeed awesome.
Damn it.
So, Mighty Molly.
Omega.
Spike Dudley won the WWF Hardcore Championship on no less than 8 occasions.
And you can't recall a single one of them.
His first one was at WrestleMania 18 when he pinned Maven.
Again, he pinned Maven.
Okay. Who else has he pinned?
I don't know. The rest are at house shows.
Okay.
Well, the way they ran the hardcore matches at house shows, it looks like the same three guys came in, won the belt, tried to run off, and got pinned by someone else until the original champ won it and ran backstage.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, him and like three others have like 8 title reigns that don't really amount to anything. I'm looking at the Wikipedia list right now, and he's down at the bottom. And 8 championship reigns, held the title for less than a day combined.
And that pretty much puts him in the same realm as, like, Bubba Ray Dudley.
Probably less than an hour combined. Let's see, Sean Stasiak, 15 times, less than a day. Just Incredible, 8 times, less than a day. There's Kay Quick, twice, less than a day.
So technically, Kay Quick held the title longer than Spike Dudley.
Matt Hardy held this belt longer than Spike Dudley. Pat Patterson held it longer.
Yeah, well, we don't want to talk about what things Pat Patterson has held. Come on.
More, less dick talk.
I wasn't. You're the one who said dick. I said we don't want to talk about what he's been holding.
But no, yeah, I will agree with Mace on this one. Spike Dudley, yeah, he pinned Maven. Who hasn't pinned Maven?
it wasn't Pat.
Mighty Molly won the championship in a way that only Tom and Jerry could top. She wins.
Tim.
Yeah, well, fuck. You know, Mace kind of stole the reason why I'm picking Molly Ollie. Sure, you know, Spike. It was fun. I remember some of his title reigns as lengthy as they were. But yeah, I mean, it's the frying pan. The frying pan puts Molly over.
And the fact that she betrayed, like, her partner, like, she's supposed to be the sidekick.
Now, here's the thing. Who did she win it off of? Come on, guys. Come on. Don't look it up.
She won it off Hurricane. I just said that.
It's in the intro. Jesus Christ, Tim.
Just said it. Just not only is it in the intro, awake. I just said it.
I'm just checking to see who's awake.
All right, so
I don't think you're awake.
I don't think
I'm awake.
Sure. So Mighty Molly advances, and Steve Blackman advances next week in the final matchups of the first round. RVD takes on the Mean Street Posse.
Oh, yeah.
And Crash Holly takes on Mike Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So that's in the finals of the first
round. Can't wait to see how that comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Next week on The Great Debate.
That'll be 30 seconds of your life you'll never be able to get back, kids. Tune in. I think it's time we just go to quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Let's start with Mace. Mace, what is your favorite flag?
Somebody's obviously been watching too much Big Bang Theory.
I was only on Thursday, Jesus.
I'll be honest, I'm not much of a flag person, so I don't really have a favorite.
Well, pick one.
Okay, who's your favorite fag?
That'd be you, Tim.
Fuck off, you. You fucking kangaroo fucker, you.
I love how Tim tries to be distasteful and Mace sends it right back at him.
He's just like, he out-distastefuls people. And what are you doing speaking up, you homophobe?
What?
Jeez, favorite flag.
You're fine.
What's the thing? I'm not really a flags person, but... So I can't really comment.
You can't even put over your own flag?
Oh my god, the Aussie flag?
No, not the Aussie flag, because it's got that much friggin' racism and shit tied to it at the moment that I really don't like it.
I mean, Jesus Christ, the flag should be a picture of Australia with fuck off, we're full, right in it, inside of it.
That's how a lot of people have put it.
No kidding.
So, yeah. Question failed.
Not even the Salute Your Shorts flag. Okay, whatever. Moving along.
The what?
You know, show Salute Your Shorts. You know, shorts.
Never
flag.
Saw it.
Really? Wow.
Remember, Australia, we don't get every show you guys get.
That was a Nickelodeon show. Anyway, moving on.
Never Nickelodeon.
You failed then. Tim, if you could create an app for something, what would it be for and why?
If I could create an app for something...
What would it be for, and why?
Okay, there are like 15 different answers for this, but none of them are good ideas. Well, they might be interesting, but not a good idea to talk about or bring up or air or anything. What kind of an app would I... Well, just to fit the stereotype, just so you guys, you know, like, keep shut up. Something that saves you money.
Tim Stein, the new Geico.
Okay.
Save you 15% on your purchases.
Wow.
Okay. Omega, if you were to win an Oscar, what do you think it would actually be for?
No wonder I can remember Steve Blackman. He only held the belt the longest time. Fuck. What was the question?
If you were to win an Oscar.
I heard it. If I
Plastic
won an Oscar,
addict,
what
the,
would it be
the
for?
Movie.
If you won an Oscar, it would be for editing.
I like that idea.
But I see. I told you it was coming.
If I win an Oscar, I want it to be for Best Musical, because that's funnier.
You're starring a musical, okay?
I'm not going to star in it, I'm just going to make it.
Musical for queers.
What is...
Fuck you.
Did a gay guy crash into your car today?
I'm sorry, you're saying musicals... You have Wolverine who sings, come on.
Okay, moving along. Ace, if Omega were to join the WWE's developmental tour, NXT, what would Omega's WWE name be?
Oh, God damn it.
Omega's WWE name. It'd be something probably along the lines of like Alex Bosch or something like that. It'd be so plain and generic. No real oomph to it, because if you've seen the way... Actually, he'd just go in as TJ. Because if you actually take a look at how, a lot of the way that they've been naming newer guys lately, they only have one fucking name. So he'd go in as TJ. That's it.
Blame Madonna for that.
No, I blame that, the uncreative people at NXT. But,
and before that, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to be nice to him. He's going to go in as TJ. And that's it.
TJ, kid from Florida.
Call him JJ.
With that being all caps?
I hate you.
Does he pull up in a car that he can't ever own?
I am not taking shots at anybody. I just dropped the T and added a second J.
Okay. Tim, if you could create your own flavor of wine, what would it be called and why?
Holy fuck, this is potent.
Hold on. Let him just take a look out the back and what he's currently making.
Yeah, let me just take a look at my carboy, eh? What's brewing right now? My own flavor of wine?
Mm-hmm.
What flavor of wine would I make? Well, it wouldn't be any kind of new kind of funky flavor that's never been invented because, well, they've all been invented.
Tim, oh.
Wow, I don't know, something, it would be dry, and, fuck off, Mace.
That's good, though.
That's Rock's wine, asshole.
Creative.
Mango Caterpillar.
Why?
Well, because you're the one who brought up fun with flags, and I figured I'd just keep the theme going.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I want to make a kiwi wine.
Okay.
You just know it's going to be aged really well, because it'll be as old as Tim is.
Omega, if you could create your own dance craze, you know, like, you know, the Harlem Shake, what would the dance craze be called, and what song would actually be used for this dance craze?
The dance craze is called Dance Like a Fucking Normal Person.
To what song?
I don't know.
Just pick one.
I don't... No, literally, I don't know. I could give a I don't think I've listened to a new song in 10 years unless the WWE's rented it for a pay-per-view.
Really?
Really, I don't know music.
Okay.
He's white and nerdy, get over it.
No, we've already gotten over white and nerdy.
That's just all I know is the dance style I want to compete with Gungam and the Harlem Shake. It's called Don't Be a Fucking Spaz.
Okay. That works.
Oh, come on. Just call it the Epileptic Fit and be done with it.
Oh, there we go. There we go. The dance craze is called the Sudden Seizure, and it plays to the Pokemon music.
You didn't let me down. Good job, Omega.
It took a while, but he got there.
Anyway, that's quick. It's for another Sunday night right here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yeah, we're done. Screw this. Go home. I'm not even doing any plugs except for tomorrow night is the post-Raw show after Raw. Yeah, come and listen to 3 hours of the Raw condensed into about 45 minutes or so.
Yes, and we'll see if somebody explodes on air, and by the sounds of it, she's calmed down because there's a trace of hair.
Yeah, there's a trace of hair, but it's gray.
No, on the head. There's hair on the head.
Fuck are you talking about?
Is this like a lotion on the skin thing?
There's anyway. Tune in the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, you'll figure it out.
My God. Yeah, alright, Tuesday night. Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik, who does the show by himself because nobody loves him.
Could make a joke, but I'm not going to go there. He's interviewing the likes of Matt Taven. Good, you know, he's a good guest.
Cat Maiden, cool.
Luke Hawks.
Omega won't be on that show.
And Midian.
Wednesday night's just another goddamn...
Hold on. He's got Midian? Is Midian actually going to be wearing clothes for this interview?
I don't know.
Oh my God, where the hell was it? Just another goddamn wrestling show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What is that, 8:30 Eastern on Wednesdays with the Cheap Wood paneling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tune in. They're weird. Thursday night, it's the award-winning Rack. Holy cow, last week was awesome! What am I talking about? That's right, they interviewed The Miz. It is now archived. If you didn't know and want to hear it, all you got to do is head on over to the Wild Talk Radio Archives. The link is at the top, by the way, kids. And you get to hear The Miz interview.
Yes, go back and listen to The Miz interview and check us out Thursday night as we will be talking to Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, and this week they're talking to the most important guest in the entire world. Who is it? Tune in Thursday to find out.
Wait, aren't we supposed to schedule, you know, to talk to you?
Shut up, stupid. You don't tell them who you're talking. It's like selling the sizzle thing, dumbass. Jesus Christ. You know nothing. Friday, Mace, why don't you play some goddamn video games?
Indeed, I will be playing some goddamn video games, as you put it.
Told ya!
I'm actually going to be playing Metal Gear Rising Revengeance because the damn thing finally arrived in my letterbox today with a gigantic blow-up sword.
You are just such a real suck up, getting all this free crap.
I'm sorry, but I had a good teacher, didn't I, Omega?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Guys, I do the same shit for securing stuff that I need for Canadian All Pro Wrestling shows, so it's all good.
Yes, so somewhere between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. this Friday night, come and join me as we go into the world of Metal Gear Rising and slash shit up as a cyborg.
Woohoo! Saturday night, midnight-ish, as close as they can get to it, depending on how stoned some people are. It's another edition of that CB Radio. Crazy sons of bitches they are.
Yes, we will, and we will be getting Rob and Subway's Oscar picks on the show.
Kind of late for that, don't you think?
That's the gimmick. That's the gimmick.
I think
that's
this
gimmick,
actually...
Yeah.
This is the smarter route because
that
I'm
might
pretty
work.
Sure
you know,
they're gonna get it right.
I'm telling you right now, they'll still get it wrong.
Here's the thing,
we
do this gimmick every award show. They're
and they
not
still
always,
get it wrong.
They still get it wrong. So tune in and listen.
Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, another edition of Roast Talk Radio at a regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern. Guys, gals, everybody, get ready to do another edition of WTR Pick'em. That starts next Sunday night for TNA. They got a pay-per-view the following week. Yay.
What, we're up to lockdown sense? Already?
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, 2 weeks away, man. 2 weeks away. That being said, hey, everybody, thank you very much to somebody who gives a shit to give away to you for free.
MemelinePromo.com.
That's right. Memorabilia Lane, memlanepromo.com. Check them out. Of course, you always want to check out PW Mania. And, just keep track of all the goings on over at www.canadianallpro.com. Got a whole bunch of things coming up. And this is all going to lead to our next event live, taking place at the Royal Canadian Legion March 30th. That's right, another edition of Canadian All Pro Wrestling. That being said, we're out of here. Go home, bitches. Canadian All Pro and bought on the t-shirt.
I don't think that's how subliminal ads work, Tim. WildTalkRadio.com.